Welcome to Parshas Hashavua. This week's Parshas is Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha is such a special Parshas because when Parshas Lech Lecha begins, the story goes into much, much more detail. At the end of the day, the Torah is a Torah's Chaim, is a Torah of life for the Bnei Yisrael, how to live. And even with Avraham Avinu, so the first two Parshas, Bereishis and Noach, really cover huge periods of time, almost 2,000 years in a very, very short time. And even Avraham Avinu, for the first 75 years, is only hinted, it's only spoken about very briefly in three psukim at the end of last week's parsha. And Avraham Avinu's detailed lifestyle begins with Lech Lecha. And in fact, Lech Lecha, the whole parsha, is all about Avraham Avinu. The reason for that is, the Mefarshim explain, is because Avraham Avinu became the first Yid, but became really a Yid. He became the first Jew when he was given the first mitzvah. And the first mitzvah is at the beginning of parsha's Lech Lecha. So everything changes by Lech Lecha, and the detail of Avraham Avinu's life begins. One of the things that we read in this week's parasha about Avraham Avinu is the Bris Milah, the test that he was given to circumcise himself at the age of 99. And there's a famous question. The famous question is, Avraham Avinu, we know, in fact, not only Avraham Avinu, but all the Ovos, all the forefathers, kept the mitzvahs even before they were given at Matan Torah. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and so on. Which begs the question, therefore, how come if Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs, he didn't keep the mitzvah of Bris Milah? Why didn't he circumcise himself? Why did he wait to be commanded? I wanted to share with you two brief ideas. The first is a halachic one. Avraham Avinu kept the mitzvahs. However, we know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, halachically, according to most poskim, according to most commentators, were bound and they were not obligated to keep the mitzvahs, and therefore they were bound by what was, yes, an obligation then, which is the seven Noachide laws, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And we have a principle that for a non-Jew who wants to keep a mitzvah, which often they can if they want to, from the other mitzvahs other than the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but they cannot do it if it contradicts the basic obligation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the Noachad laws. Part of the Noachad laws, which was given to Noach, actually, is about murder, but it also includes self-harm, harming one's body. Our body does not belong to us, and therefore we're not allowed to harm, and now that's a mitzvah for us as well. Therefore, Avraham Avinu had the following dilemma. Of course, he would want to keep all the 630 mitzvahs, but Bris Milah was one he couldn't keep, because not being commanded to do the bris, for him, all it would mean is that he's harming his body, he's injuring his body with something that he's not obligated to do, and that would be in violation of harming himself, chayvel ba'atzmo, as it's called, which would be a transgression of the Shav Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and therefore he didn't do it. But however, of course, once he was commanded to do it, then it became a mitzvah, and then it didn't no longer was relevant, the fact that he was injuring himself, but it became a mitzvah that he had to do, and the mitzvah was also to circumcise his son and his children after that. So the mitzvah of Bris Milah began then, but he couldn't do it before he was actually commanded. The second idea is a more philosophical idea, and that is as follows. We know that although the Ovos kept all the mitzvahs, the Ovos and the Imois, but there was a fundamental difference between the mitzvahs that the Ovos kept, we are taught, and the mitzvahs that we keep. On the one hand, the mitzvahs that they kept were obviously deeply spiritual and much more spiritual than our mitzvahs. They, of course, were on a much, much higher madrega, much higher level than we are. And therefore, when they did a mitzvah, obviously that spiritual connection with Hashem and the spirituality behind the mitzvahs was the most incredible thing, much higher than we can ever reach. However, one thing they didn't have is that the mitzvahs that they performed did not have an impact on the physical world. So to give you an example of this, a famous example, it's brought down in Kabbalah that when Yaakov Avinu, in a few weeks' time, we read about Yaakov Avinu doing something with the sticks, the colored sticks and the sheep that were giving birth and belonged to him, didn't belong to him, the spotted sheep and the lined sheep and the different colors and so on and so forth. In Kabbalah, we learned that what Yaakov was doing with all these sticks next to the river there was the same spiritual accomplishment that we do with tefillin. So in fact, in a spiritual way, he was putting on tefillin by doing whatever he did there with the sticks. However, One thing we understand is, although whatever he was doing was extremely spiritual and lofty, the sticks remain sticks without any holiness. It is only after Matan Torah, when Hashem broke the barrier between heaven and earth, between the spiritual and the physical, that we have the power that when we do a mitzvah, it should actually impact the physical, and the parchment for the mezuzah should become holy, the tefillin should become holy, and so on and so forth, and the world becomes elevated. However, we are taught, conversely, that although we have that advantage with our mitzvahs, but the fact that we are able to do this with our mitzvahs begins with the experience of the Ovos, with Avraham Mitzvah Yaakov. In other words, their spiritual power in their mitzvahs inspired us and gives us the koyach, the strength, to be able to do the mitzvahs that we do, even though we accomplish something they didn't accomplish, but it's only with their koyach. Because everything that happens to the Ovos, everything that happens to the forefathers, is related to us and inspires us, and therefore our mitzvahs that we keep, notwithstanding that they do something that the mitzvahs of the Ovos could not keep, nevertheless we do it with their power, their inspiration. The origin of our mitzvahs is actually in their mitzvahs. Therefore, in order to create that link between the mitzvahs that the Ovos performed and the mitzvahs that we performed, that we keep all the time and perform, there had to be at least one mitzvah that links the two mitzvahs, links the Ovos with us. And Hashem chose that to be the Bris Milah. Because what happened with the Bris Milah is that because it was a direct command from Hashem, it was a bit similar to what happens in Matan Torah and had an impact on the physical. As we know, that when Avraham Avinu performed the Bris Milah, the area of the Bris Milah and his whole body in general became elevated, became holy. In other words, the Bris Milah was the one mitzvah that actually elevated the physical. It was like a post-Matan Torah mitzvah that happened before Matan Torah. Which is why, because that needed to happen, and that would create the link between their mitzvahs and our mitzvahs, having at least one mitzvah that they do under command, which has a similar effect to Matan Torah, therefore he had to wait until he was actually commanded to do that mitzvah, so it should have that imprint, it should have that physical effect, in order to create that link between their mitzvahs and our mitzvahs. I want to just end off with a fascinating thing that I saw in the Sefer Oitzah Plois HaTorah, just about Avraham Avinu in general, but an interesting discussion. Nice to mention something to do with Eretz Yisrael and some of the holy cities of Eretz Yisrael, particularly now. So there's a famous idea that in Hebron, there's a shul called the Shul of Avraham Avinu, Beis Knesses of Avraham Avinu. And the reason it's called that is because of an incredible story that happened one time there on Yom Kippur. The story is brought down and told in the book Eimek HaMelech. Apparently in that shul, I read somewhere that actually they have like a sign up that tells the story in the shul, which is why the shul is called Avraham Avinu. What's the story? The story was where there was a time in Hebron, there were only a very, very small community, and there was a time when only nine Yidden. What used to happen is there was only a few people, and in order to have a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov, people surrounding shtetlach, surrounding places, would come and daven there. And they were very special people, the Anshei Hebron, but they weren't strong enough as a community to create the minyan on their own. One time at Erev Yom Kippur, in Hebron there were only nine people. They waited that someone should come, but no one came because all the guests and the surrounding people had all gone to Yerushalayim for Yom Kippur, and they were in tremendous pain of the prospect that they might have to spend Yom Kippur without a minyan. And they cried tremendously, they cried a tremendous amount, but the sun was slowly setting. Suddenly, an older man is coming from a distance, and they were so happy, with a simcha gadola. He came, they right away gave him some food to eat before the fast, but he said he doesn't need to. He blessed them, but he says, no, thank you, I already ate. And he davened with them with the minyan. And they honored him, and they respected him the entire Yom Kippur. He stood there the entire Yom Kippur and completed the minyan. On Matzei Yom Kippur, there was a discussion that broke out. Who's going to invite him for breaking the fast? Everyone wanted to have this important guest. And they decided to draw lots, and the lots fell on the chazan, who was a very pious man. And he started to go home with the guest behind him. And when he got close to his home and turned around in order to ask the guest to go into the house first, he had disappeared. He went all around to look for him. He disappeared. He was like really, really pained. He didn't understand what happened. Did the guy go away? Did he go away because he didn't want to have anything? He didn't want to be part of anything. That night, the Zokeh, the older man, came to the Chazan in his dream. And he said that he is Avraham Avinu. And he came to complete the minyan because he saw they were in great tsar, in great pain, that they would have it done without a minyan. And there was a big simcha, and they blessed Hashem, and they celebrated the fact that Hashem had sent them this tremendous chesed. So in the Sefer, where I saw the story again, and it's a famous story, there's an interesting halachic discussion. Could Avraham Avinu, coming back, we have this idea of a tzaddik coming back sometimes in a body, but could he actually be part of a minyan? After all, it was post his passing away, and he wasn't really mechuy, he wasn't really obligated in mitzvahs. The pasuk says, the Gemara says, Chazal tell us, on the pasuk, v'hameisim chofshu, those that have died are free, meaning they're free from mitzvahs. They don't actually have an obligation to do any mitzvahs. Someone is not obligated to daven really can't be part of a minyan. But the truth is, the question is not only on the story, the question is also on a Gemara. A Gemara in Ksubas, the most fascinating Gemara. That Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who is an unbelievable, he was the codifier of the Mishnah, and a holy tzaddik of supreme level. The Gemara says that after he passed away, he would come back to his house. This is really fascinating stuff. He would come back to Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. He would come to his house on Erev Shabbos, just before Kiddush time, to make Kiddush for his family, as he would do when he was alive. And the work continues the whole story once he was found out, and it's coming, it became famous, and then Rebbe stopped doing it. But for a short time, he came every Shabbos to actually do it. The Sefer Hasidim asks a question, how could he do that? Same problem. It was really after his passing. So he's potter from all the mitzvahs, he's now absolved from all the mitzvahs. Someone who's absolved from Kiddush cannot be moitzi someone, cannot make Kiddush for someone who is obligated in Kiddush. And the Sefer Hasidim answers that tzaddikim are in a different category, because we know that we have this idea that tzaddikim are called alive even when they pass away, as the Gemara in Brachos say, because their whole life is a different life. Even when they're on this world, their life is much more of a neshama life, much more of a spiritual life. And because their life, so to speak, the life that they had here was a different type of life, and that life continues, so to speak, even though they're not alive physically, but it continues. Even after they pass away, therefore they're not in the same category as most people when they pass away, that they are no longer obligated in the mitzvahs, and therefore have no connection to people who are obligated in mitzvahs. The tzaddikim are different, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi could, in fact, he says, be moitzi his family with Kiddush. So too, we can say Avraham Avinu also, the same idea, therefore, when he passed away, he was still able to come back and be mashlim a minyan, be part of the minyan, even though he had already passed away, but because he was a tzaddik, therefore he still was connected to the people here, he was still considered living, and therefore he was able to be part of the minyan. The main maybe lesson we could take away from the story, and I mention the story because the story is based on the idea of Avraham Avinu seeing his children in pain, not having a minyan, and therefore coming to be mashlim the minyan. Maybe we could say and end off with this idea that the Yidden Klal Yisrael are all in pain at the moment, what we're going through, and I'm sure the Ovos and the Imois, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah Rivka, Rachel and Leah, particularly Rachel, who knows, she sees, we know that we have a tradition that she sees the distress of the Jewish people and cries, and I'm sure that it is bothering them, just like it bothered Avraham Avinu when people didn't have a minyan, and they're going to Hashem and begging him to send rachamim, to send mercy and compassion upon Klal Yisrael, and to save us very, very quickly from all of this very soon. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. May we only hear good news. Besuras Tov.